Welcome to Securing America with me, Frank Gaffney, the program that's a kind of owner's manual for protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and his kingdom. We're facing a host of challenges, of course, inside the United States at the moment. A woman who is watching them closely, reporting on them assiduously, and raising, I think, the necessary warnings about them with great authority is our first guest. Her name is Cheryl Chumley. She is the online editor of a terrific publication, The Washington Times, in addition to being a very prodigious commentator and essayist on the challenges we're facing at the moment. She is the author of several important books, including most recently, Lockdown, The Socialists' Plan to Take Away Your Freedoms. Cheryl, it's good to have you back. It's been too long. Welcome.
Frank, it's always great to be with you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the work you do.
Well, it's a pleasure, and back at you. Let's talk a little bit about the vaccine syndrome that we're confronting. I think of it really as the China model to capture sort of how the vaccines fit into a larger program, including the one you talk about in your new book, Lockdowns. The quarantines and mask mandates and social distancing and all the rest have really had a profound effect on our country. Not just economically or physically, obviously, but also in terms of our freedoms. Give us a readout on what is going on here and the role our government itself is playing in it.
Yeah, it is perilous times for individual freedoms. And look, I could talk at length about this, so let me just hit the two points that I think are most important. For 2+ years under the coronavirus, I watched with alarm as Americans too easily went along with the government mandates. And nothing really surprised me in terms of how the Democrats overreached and used fear to seize individual liberties, because that's what Democrats do, right? That's expected. But what did surprise me was the closing of the churches, the willingness of churches to bend and bow to government mandates. They weren't even duly passed laws. These were just mandates that were put in effect, supposedly for the safety of the congregations. And the idea that churches in a country founded on religious freedom, founded on the concept that rights come from God and government is only there to preserve and protect those rights, the idea that churches would bend to the government was horrible to me, because if you remove God, what do you have left? And so the church's closing was what shocked me. And the second thing that I found most alarming was the mindset shift that occurred in this nation from Americans traditionally just generally accepting the idea of individualism, suddenly being forced into accepting and embracing a more evil form of government called collectivism, where everything we did, we may not have agreed that was the best so-called science to protect us, but we did it anyhow because the government told us to, and we didn't want to put up a fight. We wanted to seem like we were protecting others. And that's the danger of this coronavirus clampdowns. It's the move from individualism to collectivism.
I think those are several really important points. The particularly outrageous piece of the church lockdowns was all of the other outfits, everything from, liquor stores to, various hardware outlets being left open, but churches were not permitted to be in operation. And the socialism or collectivism, as you call it, Cheryl, is really infringed upon our freedoms in a lot of different ways. But at the core of it, to some extent, as you say, was the fear. And the fear was generated, at least in part, by the actions and the warnings and the requirements handed down by organizations like the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control. One of the things that you've been covering, I think, really importantly, is the phenomenon of regulatory capture operating in those outfits, the big pharma presence in influence on and essentially dictating to these entities as to what will be permissible in terms of emergency use authorization of these drugs, even in the absence of rigorous testing, which is a particular problem at the moment. I mean, they've just dispensed with human testing altogether in the latest booster exercise. Walk us through that, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's really frightening how big and bloated and powerful our medical bureaucracies have become. And the thing that Americans need to take away from all this coronavirus clampdowns and the continuing use of fear to justify vaccine mandates and so forth is that these agencies are in place to advise and recommend. And we need to always keep that in mind. The individual should always have the choice whether or not to take the shots that are recommended or to wear the face masks that are recommended or social distance or close businesses, go to church, go to school, and so forth. We can never allow the government bureaucrats working supposedly to give us the best medical advice to dictate to us through our politicians and worse, through our free markets, our private businesses, how to live and how not to live. Individualism, God-given rights must always stay on the top. And so what we have now, though, is a situation that you just referenced about these next round of boosters, these next rounds of shots that Big Pharma has created to supposedly save us from negative health impacts from one of the variants of the coronavirus. And they're not even bothering going through the normal years-long human testing process that most vaccines in America have had to undergo. Traditionally, historically, you know, it takes years to get a vaccine from development to market to a place where people can put those shots in their arms and feel as if they have been fully vetted. And that has been bypassed under the coronavirus because of a little phrase called emergency use authorization, where the government gets to deem something so perilous that we have to bypass the normal testing phases and give individuals the opportunity to take these shots. Well, that's one way to, I guess, bring medicines that the government deems necessary to the public, but never in a way that we have to be ordered to take them. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is when
especially when there are real questions about their safety as well. Piece of this, Cheryl, which I know you've been covering, is that you could get to that emergency use authorization, at least in part, because we were told there was no other course of treatment to spare us the dangers of this, so-called SARS-CoV-2 virus that came out of, I believe we now know, the Chinese Biological Warfare Laboratory in Wuhan. And that wasn't so. That simply was not true. There were, in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, at least two safe and highly effective treatments that we were, essentially ordered not to pay any attention to, folks. Just get your vaccine booster shots. Cheryl, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more detail on this question of how dangerous these vaccines have actually proven to be, having dispensed with the normal process of vetting them, as you say, and assuring safety in humans. And now this imminent prospect that people are going to tell us they have to get this newest booster. And oh, by the way, in order to get that new booster to qualify for it, you have to get all of the other shots leading up to it, maybe four of them, making this question of the dangers of this form of treatment all the greater importance. Cheryl Chumley's in the house. We'll be right back with more with the online editor of the Washington Times right after this. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Biden is expected to use a rare prime-time address tonight to reiterate attacks he has made repeatedly in recent days on millions of supporters of Donald Trump's efforts to make America great again. Biden's description of, quote, his Republican MAGA friends, unquote, as, quote, semi-fascists, unquote, in conjunction with calls to restrict gun ownership and loose talk about an impending civil war goes beyond rallying the Democratic base in the run-up to a critical midterm election. The question occurs, is all this calculated to provoke people on the right and provide a pretext for a leftist government to crack down on them? If so, more than just the prospects for a free and fair election are in jeopardy. A prime beneficiary, as is generally true of Team Biden's policies, would be a Chinese Communist Party seeking to take down our country. This is Frank Affney. We're back, and we're visiting with Cheryl Chumley, the author of Lockdown, How the Socialists Are Taking Away Your Freedoms. The terrific, important book, especially at a moment when we are about to have another booster shot foisted upon us as part of this effort to contend with variations on the original COVID virus. Cheryl, you were talking a bit about how we got to this point, namely short-circuiting the normal process, years-long process of assuring the safety of vaccines. This was something that was done in a panic at the direction of the FDA and CDC under the Trump administration. Donald Trump is now being blamed for some of the problems. Interestingly enough, at the time, people were very pleased to have this course of treatment. But based on what we now know, how dangerous would you describe these experimental gene therapies, which is what they really are, not vaccines, how have they proven to be in practice?
Well, the real danger is that we don't know for sure how dangerous they are because the government has cleverly disguised a lot of that data. But here's how I look at them. If you want to take those shots, that's your choice, but understand that you are being treated in essence like a lab rat, like a guinea pig. Because the long-term studies of safety and efficacy have not been conducted on these shots. And certainly when you bring forward the next booster where you are bypassing human testing and admitting it, you cannot, you know, with any sort of certainty say that those boosters, those shots are safe, especially in the long term, especially in the younger people, especially in, you know, pregnant women. And my heart goes out to those in the military that have suffered a lot of adverse health impacts. There are 15 different diseases that the internal reporting system of the military's own health data have shown an uptick in, coincidentally tied to the mandates of these vaccines on military members. And yet they are still not.
Or not so coincidentally, as the case may be.
They're still not acknowledging a link. So just if you take the shots, understand you're a guinea pig, you're a lab rat.
Right. This brings me to another aspect of this China model, Cheryl, that I just wanted to tease out with you as well. The Chinese have a term for a comprehensive surveillance, monitoring, and control capability that they've built over the years. They call it the social credit system, a key piece of which is something that looks an awful lot like the vaccine passport or digital ID. In fact, it's the same basic platform on which not only your medical information, your vaccination status can be put, but also all manner of other information that the state is collecting about you and using to determine you know, whether you're with the program or not, not just medically, but politically for that matter as well. Is it a concern to you, as frankly it is to me, that this is being insinuated into our country now as well?
Yes, and that's part of the reason I wrote Lockdown, because it's not so much what occurred as the look ahead of where the left, where the Democrat Party, in partnership with their global friends, want to take America. And part of that you are already seeing it in the private corporate world. You're seeing the woke corporate governing structure. You're seeing the ESG, environmental social governance goals, being put into the system so that you as an individual will have a very hard time just fighting back against those. And yes, the social credit programs that the Chinese have so fully implemented in their own societies are coming hard for America's shores. And one need only look at the college campuses and the mandates for students to download contact tracing apps on their cell phones as a condition of returning to campus, which gives administrators the right and ability to track and surveil their movements, combined with mandated vaccines, combined with mandated face masking, to see that this nation is really walking toward this new world order that includes government control, top-down control of individuals.
Yeah, and including your finances, which will be soon cashless and digital, cashless, and thereby yes, baked into this identity and the monitoring or manipulation thereof. Cheryl, this is so important, and I'd like to have you back for a much longer conversation than we can do today on, you know, the findings of your book, Lockdown. But before we leave you, I did want to just ask one quick question. We won't have enough time to do justice to it, but you're following closely as well another aspect of the challenges we're facing domestically, namely what seems to be not simply the persecution, but the imminent prosecution of former President Donald Trump. What is your current reading on, as we speak, there's a pending court ruling coming down about this raid on Mar-a-Lago and what will be the rights of the former president to, you know, regain control of the documents that were seized from him then. But what's your reading on what is really going on here and its intended purpose?
Right. Well, my reading is, first off, and most importantly, it's unconstitutional completely, because if you look at the warrant, the affidavit, you know, the Constitution's clear. You have to name specifically what you're searching for and the places you're searching. And you can't just have police enter your home and start scouring through your closets in every room without looking for something specific and naming where they're looking. So that, for all of Americans, should be a fear that our federal law enforcement have been weaponized and politicized to go after a former president of the United States. It's the constitutional aspects that we should worry about.
Particularly about, and to the extent that they're likely to try to use whatever they did get out of Mar-a-Lago to bring charges against the former president. It sounds at the moment as though it's for simply, you know, impeding an investigation rather than, you know, the mishandling of classified information, which I don't think they can make a case on. How serious a problem is that? Is it really all about just the indictment rather than the actual prosecution and its success?
Yeah, this is about the deep state that Donald Trump named, creating a narrative as we head into the midterm elections and beyond into the 2024 White House elections. This is about the far left's hatred of Donald Trump because he so successfully put America first, not just as a bumper sticker, but in real pragmatic policy. And that ticked off not just Democrats, but also the global government that has been eyeing America for crumbling for a very long time. So it's about the narrative. It's about the image. It's about the Twitter feed and creating the punditry and the trolls out there to carry forth the message that Donald Trump is corrupt and he should never be allowed to run for political office again. Truth has very little to do with this.
Yes. Unfortunately, truth does seem to have been sacrificed along the trail here. And we're going to be talking about in more detail with our subsequent guests, the problem of a broader assault on Donald Trump's base, as well as, you know, he himself, that now is part and parcel, it seems, of Joe Biden's mantra going into this contested election. And I fear that, Cheryl, this is teeing up a far more, well, oppressive response to the MAGA movement, as it's called, and, you know, further diminution of our freedoms, which, as you're rightly saying in your subtitle of Lockdown, the socialists are trying to take away from us. Cheryl Chumley, thank you for your time today. Thanks for the great work you do at the Washington Times. Come back to us, especially for that longer conversation about lockdown.
Thank you, Fred.
We'll talk with you soon. Next up, we'll speak with Bill Walton about the latest on China right after this.
Black-garbed assailants clash with police in the streets, smash windows, and throw Molotov cocktails in an effort to destroy police stations, federal courthouses, and local businesses, all in the name of anti-fascism. Most Americans are now, sadly, all too aware of the movement known as Antifa. But where did they come from? What do they want? And how do we stop their campaign of violent mayhem? The Center for Security Policy Press is proud to present Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat. This new book looks at the history, ideology, organization, finances, and strategy of Antifa and provides an in-depth analysis for law enforcement officers, policymakers, and the general public. From street fighting tactics of the Black Bloc to fundraising by prominent left-wing foundations, Unmasking Antifa is the go-to guide to understand this elusive and dangerous threat. Get your copy of Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. We're going to visit, as we generally do about this time each week, with a man who has a very important perspective on a fundamental problem that faces us with respect to the threat of the Chinese Communist Party, and that is our underwriting of it by Wall Street with our money. His name is Bill Walton. He was formerly a master of the universe on Wall Street, as they call them, the president of Allied Capital Corporation, a major player there, a man who has, well, come a long way, baby, since his days on Wall Street. Now he's the host of a terrific television podcast, The Bill Walton Show, and a very active participant in and contributor to the public policy debate about, well, all kinds of issues, including the threat we face from China. And we're always delighted to catch up with him, especially to explore that topic. Bill Walton, welcome back.
Frank, great talking with you.
There's a lot of ferment at the moment in, among other things, Wall Street and its attitude towards the Chinese communist enterprise as a sound investment play. Even the Financial Times, the daily Bible of the Wall Street crowd, has become, it seems, attuned to the fact that China, actually may be an enemy of the United States and the free world. What a shocking revelation. But what they're certainly picking up on, both the FT and folks on the street, is China is in real economic, well, crisis, I think. It's not too strong a term. Talk a little bit about what's happening as you see it, Bill, and the ripple effects it's having in your old community.
Well, China has joined the long list of countries and regions around the world that are victims of terrible government policies. And we've seen it in Europe with their green climate agenda. We're seeing it here with cutting off oil and gas drilling and trying to get us to free from fossil fuels. And it's a pervasive worldwide phenomenon. And China has always been very pragmatic about its economy and how it wants to maintain its 8-10% growth rate. And that's worked very well for the Chinese Communist Party as they kept the economic plate spinning. They brought tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people out of poverty into middle-class life in China. It's one of the sources of power. And they've done it with things like, stimulating the residential real estate market, flooding the economy with liquidity and leveraging up and borrowing and building cities that really, I think there are probably several million apartment units in the country that have been built that have no occupants because they wanted to keep the investment plate spinning. And Xi, though, President Xi, who is an ardent communist, loves Mao, seems intent on undoing a lot of that economic miracle in China and pounding it back to something much more primitive. The residential real estate market, which had been a source of investment for most Chinese, there's really no robust investment market in that country. Well, he declared that it was not really investable. If you wanted to buy a house, that you had to be something, or an apartment, you had to live in it. And it's caused a tailspin for all the big property developers in China. And there's something, and I want to check these numbers, but there's like a couple $100 billion of real estate property developers' bonds, and almost 130 billion of them we expect to go into default. And the Financial Times has picked up on what a lot of the other investment firms have picked up on, is China's economy is slowing. It had been 8-10%. Now it looks like 2-3% this year. And with its hostility to tech companies, it's becoming uninvestable.
Wow. This is huge. And I hope that it will presage a movement out of China by these Wall Street types, and that Americans, most of whom have been unwittingly having their money entrusted to the tender mercies of the Chinese Communist Party, will be able to get it back before it's all gone.
I worry about the dark side of that, Frank. I mean, one of the pluses we've had is that it's very difficult to go to war with a country when your economies are completely intertwined. I mean, back in the Cold War with Soviet Union, we had very little connection with each other and could act like we could go to war. Well, in China and the United States, massive sectors of our economy are intertwined. And that's, in a way, a kind of a security blanket against kinetic warfare. Xi, however, seems to be interested in disconnecting the Chinese economy, at least certain key industries, from the United States and being more self-sufficient. It's something the United States should be working on as well. But in Xi's case, it seems to presage some really very hostile intentions.
Yeah, well, war, I think, is the bottom line, kinetic war. Bill, it's interesting you mentioned that. People have said for years that countries that are deeply intertwined economically don't go to war. But as I recall, in 1914, the Brits and the Germans were deeply engaged, in terms of trade especially, and they did nonetheless go to not only war, but a world war. Let me ask you about another piece of this, Bill. We've been talking on and off about the special inadvisability of investing in Chinese companies without actually knowing their solvency or much else about their financial condition, for that matter. You've talked about the wonders of work products to help you understand what these companies are all about, and that that's part and parcel of what, as an accountant in a previous life, you looked forward to doing. This Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, PCAOB as it's known, is responsible for trying to, pursuant to relatively new federal statute, get the Chinese to open up their books if they want to be listed in our exchanges. The Chinese have been pushing back relentlessly on this, saying it's all national security secrets and they can't possibly do that. A compromise has been floated that would involve having the PCAOB get those audits done, not here in the United States, but in Hong Kong. And I wonder whether that seems to you to be a fix or a scam.
Well, it depends on how likely are the Chinese are to follow the letter and spirit of the agreement. To back up on the issue is, as part of the opening up to China, we've been encouraging Chinese companies to list in the United States, and hundreds have come in, and U.S. investors have happily put money in them. The problem is that we didn't have any idea what their financials really were. We haven't had access to their audit books. And the PCAOB, that's its job, is to maintain the system that oversees the financials of publicly traded companies, and in some cases, large private companies. Well, the Chinese companies were a black box. And so thanks largely to some work by people like you, Frank, and the rest of us engaged, and maybe Roger,
Roger Robinson, for sure,
who's been pushing this, we've woken up to the fact that, hey, if we're going to let U.S. investors to invest in Chinese companies listed here, we need to know what their financials are. And so the deal that was cut allows U.S. Auditors or the PCAOB to travel to Hong Kong to inspect the books and records that the auditors presumably audited in Hong Kong. The devil's in the, whether they're actually going to let us do that, I'm skeptical. And I think already the Chinese are beginning to say, well, look, maybe we just don't even need to be listed in the United States because we still don't want to give up the audit papers and all the information that that a good audit would reveal. But it's a step back, and it's a step for them, and it's a step forward for us. And if it's executed as we hope, I think it'd be a good thing for investment transparency. But I still think it's investor beware here.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And I'm particularly skeptical because I have the feeling that if the Chinese do in Hong Kong, which after all is just another Chinese city now, what they would do anywhere else in the country, which is coercively pressure accountants to, just do what they're told rather than what they're actually supposed to with work papers. I meant work papers. I think this can be more scam than help. And I'm not sure that it's a done deal, by the way. I think it's still in the process of being negotiated, but it's one to be watching carefully, I think. Bill, let me ask you finally, we're looking at the delisting of Chinese companies, as you mentioned. This is something that, frankly, we've been, campaigning for. Not that so much that they do it at their initiative, but we do it at ours. To the extent that you see a decoupling, is it likely that this is going to prove to be widespread and sustained, do you think? Or is this perhaps part of Xi's campaign against his own companies?
I think that the interconnections between the United States and China and its interdependencies with supply chains and technology arrangements and marketing arrangements and the amount of business that U.S. companies are doing in China and vice versa, and the Chinese diaspora all over the world and its integration into the U.S., I don't think there's going to be a decoupling that happens anytime soon. It would take decades for something like that.
Be watching this closely with your good help. Bill Walton, thank you very much for your time today. Come back to us again soon. And we'll talk with Kevin Freeman next about the plan, according to the plan specifically that we're pursuing. You need to know what he's found out right after this. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Biden is expected to use a rare prime-time address tonight to reiterate attacks he has made repeatedly in recent days on millions of supporters of Donald Trump's efforts to make America great again. Biden's description of, quote, his Republican MAGA friends, unquote, as, quote, semi-fascists, unquote, in conjunction with calls to restrict gun ownership and loose talk about an impending civil war, goes beyond rallying the Democratic base in the run-up to a critical midterm election. The question occurs, is all this calculated to provoke people on the right and provide a pretext for a leftist government to crack down on them? If so, more than just the prospects for a free and fair election are in jeopardy. A prime beneficiary, as is generally true of Team Biden's policies, would be a Chinese Communist Party seeking to take down our country. This is Frank Affney. Welcome back. We're going to be talking next about the plan, a plan that has apparently been put into place, is being pursued, and has the most ominous of potential implications for our country if it is successfully executed. A man who's been tracking the plan, writing about it, warning of it for some time, is one of our regulars here, I'm pleased to say, at Securing America. His name is Kevin Freeman. He is the host of his own television program, a terrific show, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman on Blaze TV and other platforms. Kevin is also the author of, two best-selling books and one that is just out today that I'm quite sure will become a bestseller as well. Secret Weapon, Game Plan, and now According to Plan. Kevin Freeman, it's good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
Congratulations on the new book and your publication date having at last arrived. Tell us a little bit about the plan as you have exhumed it from the swamp in Washington, D.C., where it seems to have incubated. It's being executed now.
Well, Frank, it goes along with what you have said. It appears that the government is a wrecking operation designed to destroy America relative to the rest of the world. You've talked about this from the Biden administration. It includes the Biden team, obviously, but goes far beyond it. There was a plan put in place decades ago by the Communist Party USA, which said we're going to tear down America. And they listed out what they're going to do. It was published in the Congressional Record in 1963. It was actually written in a book by a friend of mine, Dr. W. Cleon Skousen, titled The Naked Communists. And it laid out, we're going to destroy America. We're going to capture one or both political parties. We're going to push the literal gay agenda. It's written in the text. We're going to destroy people's faith in religion and institutions. And we're going to make art ugly and not beautiful anymore. I mean, they walked through a laundry list. It's a plan that has been supported by globalists who want to see America no longer in the strong position we've been in. For example, George Soros says the one thing that stands between us and the new world order is the United States of America. So it's a plan that's been put in place for a long time, designed to degrade America down to the rest of the world and then institute this, one world government type of World Economic Forum. Also, the Chinese Communist parties are fighting for their piece of it, probably will win out because they're just ruthless. But it is the master plan to destroy America and what we should do to stop it.
Yeah, well, going back to, the communist sort of template for this, of course, the Chinese Communist Party is all about the destruction of the United States and is relentlessly pursuing it, as you've really taught all of us so much about through its unrestricted warfare techniques. So this sort of point of convergence between the globalists, nominal capitalists, and the communists is something that has obviously the most grim of potential portents. According to Plan is a book about not only the sort of antecedents to how we got here, but also about the execution of that plan by the Biden administration. You know, the president is, as we speak, making a speech later on Thursday about presumably a theme that he has been striking now increasingly of late, namely that MAGA, the Make America Great Again Republicans, are an enemy as he sees it, and are, you know, inherently violent, domestic terrorists. It seems he has in mind, you know, bringing the force of government against them, if he can. How does this fit into the plan as you see it, Kevin?
Well, you know, to your point, 87,000 new IRS agents with 5 million bullets that are bought and paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. You know, Joe Biden sold himself to us as a moderate Democrat. Well, there are two moderate Democrats.
A unifier.
Yeah, the unifier. Two moderate Democrats, and they've opposed Manchin and Sinema at every turn, and Manchin and Sinema have opposed most of the Biden plan. This is a far-left radical push to remove patriotic Americans from everyday life. And it's not just President Biden. The governor of New York said, look, if you're a Republican, leave the state. We don't want you here. Go to Florida. The point being is that they're trying to marginalize and dehumanize anyone who believes in the founding of America, individual liberty, liberty, security, and values, all the things that the majority of Americans hold dear. And they're doing it so that those on the margin will be afraid to hold those ideals, and those that really, truly behold them will be marginalized and shunned from society. This is exactly how dictators take over.
This is the technique of othering, it's been called, treating people as an enemy, and then incrementally taking away their liberties and obviously their means of self-defense, and creating conditions under which they can be then violently, you know, dispensed with. And this is, as you say, right out of the playbook of totalitarians over the past century or two. And we're looking now at the prospect of it being fully implemented here in the United States. According to Plan, the book, Kevin, has some prescriptions as to what needs to be done about all this as well, does it not?
It does. One of them, a simple one, is to fly a flag, to demonstrate a passion, a love for America. One of the ways to scare off a bully is to show them how many are on our side. This is a time to strengthen our resolve and demonstrate that we believe in individual liberty and to demonstrate that we believe in the founding of America and we love this country. I remember when President Reagan died, before his funeral, there was this mass media attempt to make him the villain or the evil. But the outpouring of love and affection for the former president was so enormous that the left backed off. They didn't know what to do with that. We need to do that again. We need to demonstrate a passion and a love for this country.
Amen to that. Kevin Freeman is in the house virtually. We're going to continue our conversation with him on the other side of this short break. We're going to talk, among other things, about what the state of Texas is doing about the plan, among other things, right after this. Welcome back. We're visiting, as we do each week, with Kevin Freeman, the host of Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, also the driving force behind a tremendously important new initiative, the National Security Investment Consultants Institute. it is a formidable force for good, in particular in connection with what we talked about earlier in the program with Bill Walton, trying to help people invest their money patriotically instead of in our mortal enemy, the Chinese Communist Party. Kevin, I'd want to come back to the book momentarily as a way of teeing up some of the work that's going on in Texas, in which I think you are, if not directly involved, certainly very supportive. This plan has, as you mentioned, both a capitalist and a communist component to it. The capitalists have, in the person of Larry Fink, been actively promoting two things. One is the Chinese Communist Party and migrating trillions of dollars of American investors, as we talked about with Bill, mostly unwitting investors at that, into the coffers of the Chinese Communist Party through front companies there. The other piece of it, though, has been Larry Fink's insistence on American companies adopting his radical left agenda on environment, social governance, ESG, as it's called. Texas is striking back, particularly in connection with ESG's implications for energy. Walk us through that and how this fits into the larger plan as you see it.
Well, the plan has been to take our money and to use it to destroy our values, whether it's the Chinese Communist Party or whether it's ESG and Larry Fink and BlackRock. Texas has done what every American must do, and they've said no. Texas, for example, the University of Texas now, I believe, is the largest endowment in the world, propped up by oil revenues. And yet that endowment being invested to destroy energy via the E of ESG is foolish. Why would a state operate against its own interests with its money? So they stood up and said, we're not doing this anymore. And we're going to, anybody that wants to promote the destruction of fossil fuels, I'm sorry, you want to harm Texas, we're not going to allow you to do it. By the way, you want to destroy fossil fuels, you're going to harm the United States of America as a whole. You're going to harm poor people. You're going to harm many other nations. You know, when you see those in Germany saying, no matter what, we're going to, it doesn't matter the cost, doesn't matter what it does in the winter and how many people die, we're going to promote these ESG principles, then you know this is insanity, or it's according to plan for them to take over a complete power takeover of the entire planet.
Wow. Tucker Carlson has been doing a splendid job, I think, of sort of chronicling how this is playing out in places like Germany and elsewhere, for that matter, in Europe. He calls it a direct assault on Western civilization to impoverish these advanced Western industrial countries and create conditions of terrible privation. I mean, it's not just not having heat, I should say, in the wintertime, but perhaps not having food either as part of this plan. And Kevin, is that in prospect in our own country, do you think?
Well, it's absolutely in prospect, and you can see it in simple things like California's mandating that every vehicle will be electric by 2035. Other nations are saying you can't even borrow money to buy an internal combustion gasoline-powered car. All right, California, I get it, 2035. You know how long it takes to commission a power plant that would produce the electricity that would allow for the automobiles? Could be 15 to 20 years with regulatory concerns like in California. So where are the new power plants that they're bringing online now? Or are they just planning to crash the grid in 2035? Because if every automobile is electric and they all plug in, they will crash the grid. It has to either be incompetence or it has to be according to plan. And the World Economic Forum has laid out the plan. They said, you know, in 10 years, you will eat less meat and you'll eat more bugs. In 10 years, you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy about it. Well, you know, if I had an electric car and I couldn't charge it, or the battery cost $30,000 to replace and the car is dead, I would be happy not owning that car. That's how they get there. This is according to plan. They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in the United States. The goal is to bring Western civilization down to a manageable level with the rest of the world so that one world government, World Economic Forum types, can control. They divvy it up, make themselves rich while making us poor. It's evil. Absolutely evil, the plan that they have. But it's the same plan as the Chinese communists. It's just a matter of who is in charge at the end.
Right. And I'm with you on it, my money being with the Chinese Communist Party being the dominant faction. But Kevin, just on this point about California, you know, it's been observed for some time. We, as you know, have been very anxious about the vulnerabilities of our electric grid to not just, you know, the possibility of excess demand, but the distinct likelihood that enemies of our country will take down the grid, knowing as they do our vulnerabilities. In fact, as we've talked about on this program frequently, the Chinese have 300 high voltage transformers in our grid. And the government now has evidence that at least some of them have been configured with back doors that would enable the Chinese at will to destroy or simply disrupt the operations of those, which would have a terrible effect on the grid. But California has been, for some time, you know, virtuously professing that they're only going to have green energy in their state and not enough of it, as it happens. But that's because they're importing large amounts of it from other states that are manufacturing it with coal or with, you know, fossil fuels, as they say. So, Kevin, we're looking at a challenge of the first order. As always, your clarity about the nature of what's afoot and about the imperative need for us both to understand it and to respond to it clearly and forthrightly is so appreciated, and we look forward to continued conversations about According to Plan. How can people get it?
They can get it on Amazon. It's on Kindle on sale for 99 cents right now.
Fabulous.
They can buy it, you know, right now today. People need to buy it, buy extra copies, share them.
Pass it around. Reviews. We have to let you go. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to the rest of you for joining us as well. I hope you'll do so again for our next edition of Securing America, and that in the meantime, you will go forth and multiply.